What's up, fantasy chumps? Thank you for tuning in this week to episode 74 of the Fantasy Chumps podcast. In this week's installment, we're going to be going over the 2023 NFL draft and doing a little bit of a recap there. Going to be mainly focusing on the first round picks that were taken from offensive skill positions, and so therefore those that are fantasy relevant. We're going to be giving a redraft and dynasty grade for each player's situation and their future outlook. But there should be a lot of good information, so tune in. We always appreciate your support, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps. Thank you all. Enjoy.
Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast, post-draft edition, where me and Nate were there live to see our hearts broken, our jaws hit the ground, and stand for like a cumulative 13 hours. Nate, how are you feeling? Have you recovered yet? Because I haven't.
I feel fully recovered now. It was a really fun weekend. Holy cow, though. That was a lot more walking than I anticipated. Tons of standing
around.
A mile
down the road.
Yeah, I had grossly underestimated how much we were going to be walking and standing. So I take full fault for that, but it was a lot of fun. I got to tell you, like, I stood up out of my desk yesterday at one point and thought I was going to get like a cramp around my knee. Like, it was so bad. I don't think I'd fully replenished on the fluids after all that we had worked off this weekend, but it was a ton of fun. I mean, it was a really cool draft. Layton is a lot more into the rookie draft as many people are, I would say, but is much more than I am. I mean, I knew some names up there, but I was kind of just enjoying the whole process and excited to see where these guys went and kind of get a better understanding of what the new prospect was going to be on their new team. But it was a ton of fun. Luckily, we got some good weather for it, so we kind of lucked out there. April in Kansas City is kind of a roll of the dice.
It's true. John, did you get to watch any of it on TV, or how did you do all that? I know you were at a wedding.
Yeah, so I had the iPad going almost the whole time. I missed from, like, probably the Jets pick at 15 to the Seahawks pick at 20 is where I picked back up. So that, I know it's just five picks, but that was probably like a span of 45 minutes to an hour that I missed. And then after the wide receivers started going, I paid much less attention because I wasn't as excited for the Chiefs anymore. But
same.
I kind of stopped watching after Quentin Johnston got drafted. And then I just tuned in for the Chiefs pick at number 31. But I love the NFL draft. I was very excited for it. I wish I was able to go, but obviously I still had a really good weekend. He's my oldest friend. I realized this whenever we were going into the wedding that I haven't had a friend longer than him and one other guy that was in the wedding also. We met when we were 5 years old on a T-ball team. Yeah, so He is my oldest, tied for my oldest friend. I met both of them at the first practice. So anyway, a little backstory, but yeah. So it was good. I enjoyed watching it and following, especially I actually enjoyed the second and third draft, which is probably an unpopular opinion.
As did we, John. It was so much better live. It's insane.
The first round is way too much glamour. This day two is a lot better because, like, they're still good players. They're going to play a lot, but it goes, like, so much faster.
It was so much better. There weren't nearly as many people there live, so you could actually get to the concession stands. You didn't have people bumping into the back of you while you're trying to stand there. Right. First round, too, is, like, you'd make a pick, and then there'd be, like, 10 minutes between picks. I mean, at one point, I think we got, like, our fourth cover of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. By whatever band they hired to stay up there, they were definitely running out of content. So, second, third round was awesome.
Definitely, Well, let's kind of dive into the main aspects of the draft that impact fantasy the most. Obviously, we've already touched on the receivers. There is quite a few of them that all went off in a row, which was great. I loved all of it. But we got to start with the position that matters the least in real life, but the most in fantasy. So let's start with the running back position. And Nate, I think you're going to get us kicked off with this one.
Yeah. So the first running back off the board in the 2023 NFL draft was Bijan Robinson. He went number 8 overall to Atlanta. I think leading up to the draft, we definitely thought this was a potential landing spot for him. So I'm going to turn it over to John. John, could you give me your, for redraft purposes, what would your grade be as far as the situation goes for Bijan Robinson from a fantasy perspective for this next season?
Sure. So for redraft, I'm going to give this landing spot an A minus. The only reason that I tack on, I knew that wasn't going to be received well. The only reason that I tack on the minus is just because Tyler Allgeier is there. The Falcons run the ball a lot. Don't overthink this one. There's not a whole lot to dive into. Bijan Robinson is the real deal. He's going to be a first-round pick, as we discussed before the show. You make this pick in the first round, and you feel pretty comfortable, in my opinion. I think there's very little possibility that Allgeier really digs into his redraft fantasy role just because he was taken 8 overall. So I'm not going to get into it any more than that, but I give Bijan an A minus for the Falcons at number 8.
Yep. I think that's a really fair grade. That's kind of what I would have thought too. I think my only knock for him is just that he's in Atlanta's offense. So I don't know how much there is to go around, but
right.
So Leighton, could you give me a dynasty grade for your boy Bijan Robinson?
Oh, can I? Let me give you the A-plus landing spot for dynasty purposes. Because not only did he go number 8 overall, which is the highest since Saquon Barkley, which is a big deal. That's been a while, 5 years ago. But you guys know who Derrick Henry is, right?
I've heard of him. I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, pretty good at football. When he was at his peak, you know who his offensive coordinator was?
No.
It is the now head coach of the Falcons, Arthur Smith. So not only does he have those two factors going in for him, but I saw on Twitter, like, immediately after that, Atlanta was either 1 or 2 in rushing and rushing yards per contact, rushing attempts per game. So they like to run the ball. The coach even said it as much. And then they also drafted offensive linemen later. And I get it. The biggest red flag for the first year for Bijan is definitely you have Desmond Ridder, and it's not a good, really, quarterback situation. But they're in one of the weaker divisions, I would say. I think we could all agree. And then long term, I think we can all agree either Desmond Ridder is going to be good, or they're going to move up to draft somebody next year. So I think it could only get better from that perspective. So if you have the 101 in Dynasty, you're pretty happy. And that just happens to be me. So I kind of like the landing spot. It was very good.
Very good. Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy grade as far as Dynasty goes. This might be the most surefire 101 pick in Dynasty of all time.
Since Saquon, yeah.
I think
that was actually going to be my question, is do you think this is like for redraft purposes, do you think this is a more comfortable rookie running back first round pick than Saquon was when he came out?
Oh man, that's a tough
question. That's a tough question. Yeah.
I would say
we can get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. Hey, we have all summer.
We'll circle back.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what do we got next, John?
The next player off the board for fantasy purposes was Jahmyr Gibbs out of the University of Alabama. Went to the Detroit Lions at pick 12. At pick 12. I would say one of the bigger surprises at that point in the draft. There were rumors circling leading into the draft that Jahmyr Gibbs had some interest, the Chiefs being one of the teams that had interest in him in the first round. I didn't really think he was projected to go anywhere near that high. Maybe I'm wrong, but Leighton, from a perspective, how do you grade the Jahmyr Gibbs landing spot, especially given what's happened since the draft?
It's kind of a difficult one because I think coming into it, if you told me Jahmyr Gibbs was on Detroit, I'd probably be like, oh, you know, that's a solid like B- landing spot. The fact they took him at 12, and if you haven't seen the video of the Lions like front office, you thought they won the freaking lottery. Yeah. They were so excited.
The war room video was pretty cool whenever they
oh my gosh. The pick. I thought that guy was going to break the table. He was so excited. So definitely check that out. But with that reaction and the draft capital, even the first year, I know David Montgomery's there, but the fact they traded away DeAndre Swift as well, I think it's just a lot of signs pointing upwards. And you have to think, DeAndre Swift, whenever he like played, he averaged like 18, 20 fantasy points a game. So if somebody's that excited for them, I bet David Montgomery is going to be in the Jamal Williams role. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be in the DeAndre Swift role. Just upgrade that a little bit. I would give it a solid B+ to A- for redraft purposes. But okay. I think the bigger question is, Nate, and you're going to touch on this, kind of what would you say the long-term outlook is on this? Because historically, first round or running backs taken by the Lions don't typically pan out well. Rest in peace, Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, it's a great example right there. I honestly went ahead and gave him an A- for a dynasty grade. I think this is an extremely talented back, extremely talented pass catcher. I think he's a very exciting fantasy prospect to get him young and have him, you know, over the next 4, 5, 6 years. I think the exciting thing about it is that the Lions do have a pretty strong offensive line right now, and it looks like they're trying to improve that. So I think if you get him behind a strong O-line early in his career, and hopefully they continue to build that up over time, that's going to be really beneficial for a young back like Gibbs. But yeah, with Swift gone, Jay Will gone, we do know that Montgomery's there. I think he's going to get a very substantial portion this year of the snap share. And then I just think over the next 3, 4, 5 years, you've got to think that he's going to have a really solid role for the Lions. I mean, there's always some risk, and we know the history of running backs with the Lions, but I think this really might be an exception this year with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at just to chime in. Whenever a running back, especially in today's NFL, is taken in the first round, that should just give you almost as much confidence in the world as you can. So
exactly. I didn't mention this, but Jahmyr Gibbs is likely going to be the 102 in dynasty rookie redraft. I honestly think that's a pretty surefire thing too. But we'll get into the guys after that. But I really like Jahmyr Gibbs for dynasty. A- feels honestly like I might be sliding him a little bit.
This very well could have been an A. Yeah, David Montgomery is definitely on the team the next 2 years, so it'll be interesting. But yeah, if you have the 102 pick, I think you're definitely feeling a lot better. So moving on to these four receivers, Jackson Smith and Jigba went first out of the four. They all went in a row, so it started at 20 with Seattle. That was their second first-round pick. They took Devin Witherspoon to start, so they added Jackson Smith and Jigba, also known as JSN, which is what we're going to call him to save ourselves some air. And so, yeah, first wide receiver off the board. In terms of redrafting, what What do you think his outlook is for his first season? Because it's kind of a crowded wide receiver room, don't you think, Nate?
Definitely is. This was the one when I was kind of jotting down some notes for it. I thought there might be the biggest gap between what his redraft grade would be and what his dynasty grade might be. So I actually have JSN as a C+ for redraft this year. I mean, I think we can expect him to be kind of more of a late round flyer, like 10th to 12th round pick. I mean, we'll definitely know more once they start practicing and whatnot. I do think it's just going to be really hard for him to work into the Seattle Seahawks offense this year. I think he will have a slight role there, but just trying to, you know, overcome the target share that DK is going to demand, that Tyler Lockett's still going to demand, even in his later years of his career. I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for him, but I gave him the C+. I felt like it was a C, gave him the C+ because I think he's super talented. I mean, he's been the best receiver on Ohio State, and they've had Chris Olave and Marvin Harrison Jr. on it, and he's been one of the most productive receivers there. So talent's definitely there, so I'm going to kind of give him the benefit. But C-plus grade for Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I was looking up is I feel like the Seahawks threw a lot more than we thought they did last year, because looking at the numbers, the Seahawks threw it the 9th most amount in the NFL last year. So in terms of passing attempts, Geno Smith had about 572 passing attempts, which is kind of a lot considering a lot of the elite quarterbacks that are there. But in terms of, I guess, long-term value, John, I'm going to pass it to you. How do you think this looks going forward? Because like Nate mentioned, he's really talented, but you also have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So how do you assess that?
So when I first wrote down his grade for Dynasty, I wrote it down as an A. And as we went through the episode, I scratched it out and changed it to a B. This is for several reasons. One of them being because I don't think JSN has the ability to overtake DK Metcalf, even in a long term. This is a little bit of an ignorant question. Has Metcalf been extended with the Seahawks? Or yes. Will this – he has been?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to tell you for okay. how long? Because I have it right here.
No, it doesn't necessarily matter. But so they've already got that contract locked down with DK. And I would say, really, he's probably the face of the franchise right now. He's a big-name guy. He's a big-bodied guy. And I just personally don't see JSN overtaking him. I gave him a B for my dynasty grade. And I think that's just because he naturally slides more into the role of a Tyler Lockett rather than a DK Metcalf. So he's like he's a top-end number two option, but I think his ceiling is capped just because there's already a guy that's under a big-time contract with the Seahawks. Now, maybe that changes by the time he's up for an extension. Maybe DK has kind of worn down and he's getting up around the 30-year-old mark and he's not the future for the Seahawks. That could absolutely change, but it's also worth noting JSN's injury history, which, Leighton, you've been really good about bringing that up in conversation concerning him. So he's already gone through a lot from an injury standpoint, and it's not, like you noted, it's a hamstring injury that's already bugging him, not necessarily an ACL or some sort of surgical repairing surgery. This is injuries that have just kind of lingered. So I'm gonna give him a B just because it seems like there's so much that's unknown with JSN.
Mm. I think that's a really good grade there. So moving on to our next receiver that was taken, we've got the man, Quentin Johnston, wide receiver out of TCU. He was drafted number 21 by the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, John, the live raw reaction when this pick came through was incredible and really sad.
could you feel like the air go out of Union Station there
I mean, were 100%. Was it known that people were expecting QJ to be a Chief?
I mean, honestly, there was like a crowd of strangers around us that I think just completely grasped the situation when Leighton fell to his knees and darn near started crying. I think they were all just like, they like, it was people like passing by, just like patting him on the shoulder, just like, I'm sorry, man.
But it was a rough few minutes there.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. But it happened, and now Quentin Johnston is a Charger. John, what grade are you going to give QJ for his redraft situation next year?
Redraft, actually, what's shocking is redraft and dynasty is very similar for me. But for redraft, I'm going to give him a B. I think because of the injury history of Mike Williams, and just because Keenan Allen is up, I think he's over the 30-year mark at this point. I think he's 31, if not older. I just think that there's going to be opportunity for Quentin Johnston. And I think that talent inevitably rises to the top. And it's going to be hard to suppress that for a guy that's as big as QJ with a quarterback as talented as Justin Herbert. So, I like this spot for QJ. I think a B is a solid grade. I think their offense is going to move the ball. I will say that they're spread a little bit thin just because they have Austin Eckler in the backfield as well. I could be mistaken, but it seems like they may have drafted a running back as well. And it seems like they do every year. But, there's just a lot to go around in Los Angeles. So you might have boom or bust weeks where, you know, QJ is breaking into the top 20 at times. And then you might have weeks where he's outside the top 40. So maybe more of a boom or bust guy. But definitely, I think, worth taking a flyer on in redraft. I think you have a lot of upside with a pick like QJ.
I like it. So, Leighton, now for the long-term outlook for QJ. What dynasty grade are you giving your guy?
So, honestly, when I was looking at all four of these receivers, I gave Quentin – I put aside my bias for this, by the way, guys. I gave Quentin Johnston the highest grade. I gave him an A+. There's a couple factors, I think, that went into that. One, obviously, he's a first-round wide receiver taking 21 overall, right? I think a lot of people said he had the highest ceiling out of all these guys. The fact that he gets to go learn from Keenan Allen and Mike Williams how to be a pro, and he doesn't necessarily have to even play a lot his rookie year. I just wish he was coming back to TCU, I guess. His rookie year in the league. But Keenan Allen, like John said, he's 31, probably on the team only another year or two. And what's the biggest knock on Mike Williams? He gets hurt a lot.
Can't stay healthy.
Can't stay healthy, exactly. So if you take those two factors into account, and even we've seen Keenan Allen, he was banged up a lot last year, and he had a couple seasons where he was out the whole year. So they obviously added a wide receiver, not only just to add another weapon for Justin Herbert for this year, but also for the long term. And my thinking is if he does hit that ceiling, he's going to be a Charger for life. They're not going to let him go. So if everything works out, he's basically going to be paired with Justin Herbert, who a lot of people say is a top 10 quarterback, you know, maybe even higher. So the fact that you get paired with that, and then you also have Kellen Moore coming over from Dallas, who left Dallas because him and Mike McCarthy disagreed because Mike wanted to run the ball more and Kellen Moore said no. So the fact you have a passing identity coming over to Los Angeles to showcase in front of their 12 fans will be great dynasty outlook for Quentin Johnston. And honestly, he's probably one of the bigger risks. Actually, he is the biggest risk out of the four just because there's so much talent and everything dynasty-wise. But the ceiling and the fit, it just kind of goes hand-in-hand with each other, I think. So
I like it. I thought what you said was interesting about, like, there's a path to him just being a Charger for life. I was thinking, that like, the Chargers are kind of slow to let go of their talent players that have kind of made a name for themselves. Like, Antonio Gates basically ended up retiring. LT played one season with the Jets, but like basically retired as a Charger. Keenan Allen, Eckler, kind of now. It's like they're, yeah, Rivers. They're kind of slow to let go of these guys if they've kind of made a name for themselves early on.
Did Melvin Gordon have an extension from the Chargers, or was he just a rookie deal guy?
I think he's just a rookie deal guy.
Just a rookie deal. I couldn't remember. It seemed like he was a little older whenever he signed with the Broncos, but.
Yeah, he was. I think he had a fifth-year option, actually.
Was that it?
Okay. Maybe. Don't quote me on that.
Deal. Okay. So moving on to Zay Flowers with the Baltimore Ravens at pick 22 following the Chargers. This is one that I'm really curious for. So, Leighton, I'm just going to let you take it over. How are you feeling about Zay Flowers this year?
So I was honestly surprised they didn't go Jordan Addison just because I think Jordan Addison has the bigger measurables, but that's okay. So at 22, you know, the Baltimore Ravens took another receiver. They just paid Lamar Jackson, obviously. So, you know, made him the highest paid running back in NFL history. And what I think is interesting about this fit for Zay Flowers just for the upcoming season is I think you can make a case he's already the wide receiver too, right?
Pretty at close, least yeah.
On the depth chart, because they signed Odell to a lot of money, so they're obviously going to give him a lot of targets. But I honestly think if Odell gets hurt or he's not the same guy he used to be, I think Zay Flowers could be the number one receiver in Baltimore, because I don't think Devin Duvernay or Rashad Bateman, what we've seen so far out of him anyway, is going to really challenge him. But I also think Zay operates more like short to intermediate routes. Obviously in college, he had a lot of big plays, but he played for Boston College. So I gave this one for redraft purposes a solid A-, and it wouldn't shock me if he had the best rookie season out of all four of these guys, just in terms of impact in the fantasy world. Now, I think the dynasty aspect can change a lot just because they're a run-first offense. But, Nate, what do you think about the long-term evaluation? Because this one was probably the toughest one to think about.
Yeah, this one's kind of tough. It's difficult because I really don't know much about the players, Zay Flowers. I kind of know a very limited amount of, like, the player profile that he is.
He's small.
Yeah, small guy. So we'll get into that. So Zay Flowers, for dynasty purposes, I was going between like a B and an A minus, and I put him at a B actually. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious Baltimore added a lot of weapons to their offense this offseason with OBJ. I thought they added somebody else, but now that I'm looking at it, I don't really think that they did. But Lamar's back. Rashad Bateman should be getting healthy. So, yeah, I think you'll see Zay Flowers work into that wide receiver two, maybe borderline wide receiver three role. But I think he's definitely going to have a very defined role on the team as kind of like the speedy slot receiver. I think that's something that they're kind of lacking right now. He's going to have a role. It's just kind of hard to say what the Ravens are going to do long-term, always going to have Lamar Jackson being the run-first offense. I think for this year and the next couple years, you're going to, for dynasty purposes, you kind of got to see him as probably being the third or fourth option on this team still. Lamar running the ball. I think Mark Andrews catching the ball, OBJ catching the ball, and then there may be Zay Flowers opportunities after that.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what the ceiling really is for Zay Flowers. I think he's definitely an explosive and talented guy. We'll see. I just think he's kind of maybe a Walmart brand Marquise Brown.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see where you get that comp. I forgot to mention Mark Andrews. I kind of forgot about him just because there's such a gap between him and the best tight end in the NFL. But what's I think what's interesting, like you touched on, is if he doesn't, like, pop his first year, I could see them easily adding more weapons to keep Lamar happy, essentially. So that's a good point that you made. So the last guy that was taken in the first round in terms of receivers was Jordan Addison to the Minnesota Vikings, number 23 overall. A little bit surprising he was the last guy because there's a lot of smoke around him going potentially even higher. But out of USC, drafted by Minnesota, obviously they have Justin Jefferson, Nate. But how do you think he slots in with the rest of the Minnesota offense compared to, you know, just compared for this upcoming year?
Yeah. So for redraft purposes, I've got Jordan Addison as a B+. I really like this pick for Minnesota with the departure of Thielen, actually the addition of Hockenson. I think this is really ramping up to be a good offense in what was already a pretty high-powered offense. So I think you see Jordan Addison honestly being like probably pretty safely could say the third option in Minnesota as far as receivers go. That's including Hockenson as well there. But he could even make his way up to two. I mean, I think he is a slightly different player profile than Jay Jetta and KJ Osborne. So I think he's going to have a pretty defined role for next season as a rookie wide receiver. I mean, I would just say this is probably, if I'm taking any kind of flyer on these four receivers, I probably like the upside of Jordan Addison the most. And just I think you can probably, and I think you can probably get him the latest is kind of where I'm getting at. He might go just before Zay Flowers, but yeah, I think this is a guy for this year in redraft. I would be happy to take a late round flyer on.
Nate, do you think Addison or Hockenson has more fantasy points in 2023?
Probably Hockenson.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's tough. What do tight ends usually total at? I feel like Hockenson is like a 200-point guy or maybe like 220.
Last year was definitely the best year of his career.
Yeah.
Give me a second. I'll figure out how many points he
I think it was like 180 or something just because he only played a certain amount of games with the Vikings. But again –
I can see Jordan Addison. Like I would put his over under. Sleeper has it right now as like 120. I think that's a little low. I would put it at like 158 for Jordan Addison. Like I think he'll be like a decently solid like wide receiver, like 28 to 35.
Yeah, definitely. No, I could definitely see that.
So I think there's a pretty. There's a pretty defined path there, but if it's a late-round flyer and he doesn't get it, who really cares?
TJ Hockenson scored 214 fantasy points in full PPR scoring last year.
Wow.
To wide receiver 20, which was Michael Pittman. So, yeah, I would probably side on TJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I close. Agree.
Yeah.
So, John, dynasty outlook. Do you think that changes from what Nate was talking about, or how does that?
Yeah, I do. It? I think dynasty is substantially different for Jordan Addison, and this is going to get wishy-washy of like, well, if this happens and if this happens, so sure. Two things I think are going to happen. Kirk Cousins is not going to be the quarterback in Minnesota for much longer. I don't think. I feel like this will be a down year for the Vikings. They're going to realize that they're not legitimate contenders, and they'll probably move on from Kirk this next offseason, which I think is going to be really tough for Jordan Addison. I also think that he's going to be one of those guys. I think he's going to have a pretty solid rookie season. I don't think he's going to be crazy, but maybe like a – I don't know. A slightly less explosive Devonta Smith his rookie year. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's only going to get worse because through a quarterback change, I think Justin Jefferson is going to continue to be the number one. And TJ Hockenson is going to revive his career in Minnesota. I think he might end up being a lot better than people give him credit for. So all of those things considered, I think Jordan Addison is only going to fade after his rookie season. From a fantasy standpoint. So I'm going to give him a C+. for Dynasty because he definitely has, but I think he has a very low floor as well.
Okay. I guess kind of a quick question to tie this all together before we move on to the tight end is, what do you think the rookie rankings are, or what do you think the draft order is for them in redraft and dynasty? Let's start with redraft. Do you think it's like the order they're drafted in? And again, it's, you know, it's May, so we don't really have a great idea, but just if you had to guess.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's the order that they're drafted in.
Okay.
So almost. JSN, like, then Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison.
I would switch JSN and QJ and Zay and Addison. So I would go QJ, yeah. JSN, Addison, Zay.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's definitely, that was definitely just something I was interested in. I think it will be the order they are drafted in for sure. Maybe.
But for Dynasty, I think it's kind of the order that we've ranked them right now. Like, I do think you could see JSN get leapfrogged by QJ. Mm-hmm. So I think QJ could go number one or wide receiver one in the rookie draft. I think JSN is more than likely going to go two. I don't think he's going to fall below Zay Flowers mm-hmm. or Jordan Addison. So I think it's QJ, JSN, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, kind of like yeah. that. But I think it's going to be a lot. I don't think it's likely that QJ will go ahead of JSN, but I think if I was drafting, that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, that's fair. John, do you agree with that?
Essentially, yeah. I'm okay. very similar. I would say that the one caveat would be Dalton Kincaid, probably not in the first round, but mm. – I don't know if it just depends. Dynasty is so hard to predict with rookie drafts because I feel like Dynasty is so much more need based than necessarily, like, once you get outside the first three picks, I'd say then necessarily who's more talented or who, because yeah. that's when you could get into Zach Charbonnet or however you say his name. Like, I would consider him over Jordan Addison, in my opinion. Just personal preference.
Okay. Well, I mean, John, you kind of mentioned him. Nate, do you want to talk about the other receiving option that was drafted in the first round?
Yeah. So we're changing up the position here. We're going to go to the tight end position. The only first round tight end that was drafted this year, Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah, was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Who traded up to get him, actually. Did they move up one spot, or was it two?
They moved up two spots.
So, well, I thought it was a pretty surprising pick here. Trying to load up on weapons, I suppose, but a pretty capable pass-catching tight end now in Buffalo, pairing up with another one that's already there. So, John, what is your redraft grade for Dalton Kincaid?
I'm sorry, John, I peeked. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. I vocalized my opinion on this pick before the draft. I don't know if you guys agree with what I said or not. I honestly don't care. This was a stupid pick. I don't personally have high hopes for Dalton Kincaid, especially in redraft. This, I give this grade an F for a landing spot. And I mean, I'm obviously going on the record and saying it, but yeah, Dalton Kincaid is not to be drafted. I think that this is a down year for the Bills. I don't think they win the division, and there's already so many mouths to feed in Buffalo, and it feels like they, so why the Bills thought that it was a good idea to draft a tight end after they already locked up, like, they're somewhat mediocre tight end on a 4-year deal. I don't know, but Buffalo's going to Buffalo. So,
wow.
I give this grade an F.
Well, okay. I guess I can take it from there. That's, thank you, John. That was very, yeah, I'll touch on redraft real quick. I don't know if I'd give it an F, but like,
it's maybe like a D for me.
It's like a D.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give it a D plus because I'm feeling generous. But I just don't understand because they have Dalton. They have Dawson Knox for the next 4 years locked up on a contract. And unless they're just thinking about throwing Kincaid out there to go catch the ball, I'm not really sure what the idea was. But here, let me – this is why we're here and we're not in the war room with them. So the dynasty grade I gave the Bills is – I gave them three different grades. It's actually an IDK. Just I have no idea what to do with this. I'm just kidding. So for Dynasty, I gave it a B. I forgot to put the minus, but B minus. So this might be generous. I was just personally thinking a B minus just because Stefon Diggs is older. Dawson Knox doesn't really get it going in the passing game. And outside of Diggs, I don't really know who the second target is for that offense. So the only reason I gave it a B minus is just because if he turns into a reliable option for the pass happy Bills and Josh Allen, then I definitely think that is something that is extremely valuable, especially in fantasy football at the tight end position. If this was a receiver, okay, that's a little bit different. But the fact that it's a tight end, and those are just so hit or miss when you draft them, it's just hard to place a grade on it. So at least in terms of me, I'm not drafting Dalton Kincaid in any rookie draft this upcoming year for Dynasty. I don't blame you if you want to take the shot, but just in my personal preference, I just don't really see how he can be like a top 5-10 tight end. Especially with all that competition. Yeah. Like I honestly think for a football move, it's not that bad. But in terms of fantasy football, I just don't think it really makes sense for, you know, a dynasty player or even like John said, a redraft league. It's very much a head scratcher.
I'm going to say shame on you, Leighton. You forgot Gabe Davis. He is wide receiver 2 in Buffalo.
I didn't forget about him. The Bills forgot about him because he doesn't get the ball.
I see what you did there. I mean, Gabe Davis, wide receiver 36 last year in scoring. He had, I don't know, he got left out in the second half of the year, which I don't fully understand. But again, that's kind of to my argument that there's just a lot of mouths to feed in Buffalo. So moving on to the quarterback position, number one, it got teased like it was going to be Will Levis for a little while. I mean, it got teased that it was going to be Anthony Richardson for a little while. I feel like C.J. Stroud was never really squarely in this position, but it ended up as Bryce Young in Carolina.
No, it was just surprised? My shock face. He was drafted, I think there's an audible gasp at the draft just because they took the whole – like, they took 8 minutes to submit the pick. Like, come on. Speed it up.
So do you quickly, do you think they knew who they were taking or no?
Absolutely.
Absolutely?
I think they knew when they made the trade who they wanted.
Huh. Okay. So, Leighton, quickly – go through a redraft standpoint for Bryce Young. I mean, is he being drafted in 10-team leagues?
No. Probably not. No, he's not. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that to you. No, he's not. He's not getting drafted. There's a lot of question marks about him, especially being a smaller quarterback. We see how much Kyler Murray's gotten hurt, and he's way more athletic than Bryce Young is. And Kyler even tries to avoid getting hit a lot. He slides a lot, runs out of bounds early, which I don't blame him. But I think there's a lot of questions with Bryce Young fitting in that offense. I personally gave it like a solid B. I don't feel strongly about it. It's kind of a weak B. But I gave that just because we know he's going to start week one. He's with Frank Wright, and that's basically the whole reason. Just because they had a lot of confidence in this guy. He has They actually gave him a lot more options than I thought about with Adam Thielen. We're gonna briefly mention Jonathan Mingo later. They have a couple good tight ends, but I was a little bit more optimistic looking at it from a redraft perspective. Now, looking forward for his career, that's where it gets a little skeptical in my head. What do you think, Nate?
So I graded Bryce Young as a B for Dynasty prospect going forward. This one is definitely a little tricky. I think – so if I'm looking at Dynasty or Bryce Young as a Dynasty prospect, I'm kind of thinking of it as like a – if I'm looking at the first 6 years of his career, I think the first two are going to be bad. Like, not good at all. Like, not even really startable for fantasy. Like, if you have to, like, he's going to be a starting quarterback. You might see, like, Andy Dalton get in, like, every now and then if, like, things are just going awful for Bryce Young. But they're going to commit to him for at least 2 years. I think it's going to be kind of rough. But by the end of the second year, I think he'll start to turn around a little bit. He'll have some time with Frank Reich, who's got a good he's a good quarterback mentor. So I think he'll start to pick up on it. And then like his years 3 through 6, I think are going to be solid. I think that gives Carolina enough time to build up a somewhat decent roster. And I think he'll be okay. I definitely have concerns about his size, his arm strength, his arm talent and whatnot. So it's just like, if he can make it there, it's like not it'll be okay, I think, for those years following. But I don't know. This was a tough one for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I kind of agree with you, except I think it's going to be the inverse of what you said, Nate. Just for me personally, I think he's going to be, like, good his first 2 years, and then he's just going to, like, stagnate.
Yeah.
I just don't see a lot of ceiling, but – it definitely gives you something to consider. Now, speaking of ceiling and floor, basically the whole house is gone in Houston. Coming into this draft last year wasn't exactly great. They weren't very good. They haven't been good for a while. So they need a quarterback. Cal McNair, the owner, apparently put his foot down. Said we needed to draft a quarterback, so they draft C.J. Stroud 2 overall out of Ohio State, goes to Houston. I don't see any way he doesn't start week one and plays the whole season as the starter. So, I mean, with that in mind, how do you think his outlook is for this upcoming season? I mean, do you think the roster's in a good spot for him to succeed in fantasy?
No, it's definitely not. So I gave CJ Stroud a B minus for this year in redraft leagues, which, I mean, I guess isn't as harsh as I came off on that response. But, like, I think he'll be a good quarterback. Like, I think he's probably, like, the second most talented quarterback out of this class. I think Anthony Richardson definitely has the most upside out of any quarterback in this class, but C.J. Stroud
arm talent. Spoiler alert, come on.
C.J. Stroud, I think, is pretty close behind him with just how incredible his arm is. So I like him much like John does for Dynasty, but I think for this year in redraft, that roster is kind of just a dumpster pile, so... he's not going to really have any talented receivers to throw to. I think it's going to be pretty tough this year. But, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think they're going to be behind in a lot of games. They're going to have to throw. So maybe he's a flyer for fantasy.
Well, John, I'm going to pass it to you. Dynasty-wise, does it look a little bit more sunshine or is it a little bit more dark and gloomy?
I like the dynasty outlook for C.J. Stroud. I hope things work out for him. This is silly, but I kind of feel bad for him for how much hate he caught based off of that competency test he took that apparently he got like a 17% on.
Oh, which, the S2?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you get that low of a score unless you just legitimately weren't trying. But no, I like the outlook for CJ Stroud. I think that Houston is probably somewhere with DeMeco Ryans as their head coach. I feel like they are destined to turn things around at some point. And I think they got the two cornerstone pieces with Will Anderson and CJ Stroud to where they're going to build at least a contending team for second place in the division. Like, I don't think they're ever going to compete with the Jags as long as they keep making good decisions as a franchise, which they made another good decision in this year's draft. But I think that they can start to scare some people. I think they can compete for a wild card spot eventually. It's not this year, but again, from a dynasty standpoint, I think CJ Stroud might actually be at least the second quarterback taken in your rookie drafts.
Deal on him. So I think he's worth that flyer
because I think he could absolutely turn into like the cornerstone franchise quarterback that you're going to be happy with because he's going to compete for a top 10 fantasy performance year in and year out.
I agree. I think he could be solved. The only thing I worry about is his wide receiver core isn't great, but
sure.
I mean, other than that, I kind of like the landing spot. I think right in there. Nate, you teased Anthony Richardson a little while ago, so
I did because he was the third quarterback taken in the first round. Excuse me, he went number 4 overall to Indianapolis. John, excuse me, what's your redraft grade for Anthony Richardson this year?
This is going to be a hot take spot once again, and it's not going to be a popular opinion. I think Anthony Richardson is going to greatly struggle, and I think that gives him like a D redraft grade.
Do you think he starts week 1, John?
I do, and I think that's part of the problem. Is I don't feel like Gardner Minshew is going to be like the buffer for Anthony Richardson. I think he's going to get thrown out to the Wolves. He's only started 13 games in his collegiate career. So it's just a very small sample size. There's going to be a learning curve. I think he's going to be one of those guys that gets rostered early on and somebody's going to sit on him and sit on him and sit on him and wait for him to hit, and it's just not going to happen. And you're going to be upset that you clogged up your roster spot with Anthony Richardson. So stay away from him. Don't draft him. Let somebody else take him or use a roster spot to keep him. And then maybe towards the end of the year, he kind of turns things around and he might be like a bye week waiver starter or something. At the very best. So I give him a D for redraft.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's – go ahead. Sorry, Nate.
No, I was going to kick it over to you for long-term outlook.
Ah, I can definitely do a long-term outlook. So I'm John kind of painted the negative picture, which is fine. Because upcoming this year, I wouldn't draft him either. He's definitely in contention for my watch list for free agents. So that's where I'm going to slot him at. But in terms of dynasty, I gave him an A+, which is a little shocking probably to you two. But I think this is probably the best landing spot for him just because I think their head coach, Shane Steichen, who is the offense coordinator for the Eagles, you know, he really helped Jalen Hurts develop into the quarterback he is now, right? And coming out, nobody thought Jalen could throw. Everybody thought he's going to be a running quarterback, which he still kind of is, but he still has a really good arm. And I think they pictured Anthony Richardson, who is definitely more athletic than Jalen Hurts. That's not a slight. Anthony Richardson's an alien. And I just think they looked at it and they said, hey, let's take the swing. If we develop him, we might have the next, you know, Lamar Jackson or fill in the blank. The reason I put it as an A+ for fantasy perspective, dynasty wise, is just because, you know, he's so athletic. He runs. He by far, I don't think anybody could disagree, has the highest ceiling out of any of these quarterbacks this year. With that being said, He probably has the lowest floor out of the three. Actually, he definitely does. But I think, especially in Dynasty, there's you can always get a starting quarterback, at least in one QB leagues. If this is a super flex league, I would be a little bit more hesitant. But in these type of situations, you just kind of have to swing for the fences. You know, you could get a Lamar Jackson or you could get a Trey Lance. So I just think you kind of have to swing.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree with both of your assessments there. But yeah, that will wrap up our kind of first round fantasy prospect rundown. So next week, we'll get into other people that were outside the first round. That's kind of where a lot of the meat of these more skill position players comes into play. So we kind of had the big names in the first round, but there's definitely, I think, a lot of fantasy relevant players to come after that we're definitely going to want to touch on, both for fantasy and dynasty purposes. So we're going to get into the weeds on this thing, but I think we got a lot covered, and this was a good exercise for me, honestly, because you wouldn't think that a redraft and dynasty grade and outlook would kind of differ so much, but it really does on certain players.
Yeah, definitely can.
But Layden, you want to wrap us up?
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the draft as much as we did. And we're definitely excited to get back into the Fantasy Chumps podcast coming up. And just like Nate said, keep an eye out for that episode next week, because the really good fantasy players hit on the prospects outside of the first round. So something to keep in mind. So definitely check back in next week, and then we will catch you later.
All right. Thanks, guys.